Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
First this morning, child law expert Dr. Geoffrey Shannon published his independent report on historic abuse in St. John's Ambulance this morning. Survivors were given a chance to see the report before it went public in the last few minutes. Jack Power, Irish Times reporter, has been following this story for several years now, and he's been speaking to survivors this morning, and Jack is on the line now. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
It's worthwhile just going into the background, first of all, and when allegations of abuse first came to light.
Yeah, so around the middle of 2020, I met with one of the survivors who's been campaigning about this, Mick Finnegan, and the Irish Times kind of set about investigating and speaking to other men who'd been allegedly sexually abused as children in the organisation as cadets. And we published our first story, I think, in August 2020, and then subsequently continued reporting on this story over the coming or the following months as more men came forward to say they had been abused and allegedly abused by the same individual who was a former senior figure in the organisation's old Kilmainham division in Dublin. And so in around March 2021, the organisation took the step of appointing Dr. Geoffrey Shannon, former government rapporteur on child protection, to investigate these historical abuse allegations and to also investigate and review its current policies. So after more than a year and a half of work, Geoffrey Shannon submitted his final and extensive report, which runs to more than 300 pages, to St. John Ambulance in late November. And then since then, there's been some delay in it being published. As the organisation had said, it had to conduct legal and various other reviews. But it was published today, this morning, given to survivors. And the findings are very stark. They basically find that the voluntary organisation failed to investigate concerns, suspicions and significant knowledge and awareness that this former senior figure posed a risk to children in the organisation at the time. It says it was a failure to intervene, a failure to act, as a result, I'm aware that more than 15 men have come forward to say they were abused by this same figure in the organisation between the late 1960s and the late 1990s, and so that likely would be one of the most damning findings of the report, that there was this significant organisational knowledge about the risk this man posed. There were rumour and there were kind of concerns and suspicions about him. There were incidents of concern that raised red flags. Yet the man wasn't removed for some years. He was only removed in around 2000 after one of the survivors, Mick Finnegan, came forward to report the abuse to the organisation in the late 1990s. And since then, the organisation has really avoided the reckoning that's coming today in relation to how they handled past concerns and suspicions. The report says there was a well-established awareness in the organisation of specific threats to child safety by the early 1990s, but for the guts of a decade, and there was a failure to act against that alleged abuser. And in that period, I've spoken to several men who said during that time They were allegedly abused, during first aid duties at matches, at branch meetings, on kind of unofficial weekend trips away, in the abuser's home. So there was a serious failure of ethical duty, as Dr. Shannon describes it, in how the organisation could have and should have investigated these suspicions, this knowledge, and this awareness, and done something to remove the man sooner.
And Jack, you mentioned there that Geoffrey Shannon was also tasked with looking at current policies and whether they were up to scratch. What did he find in that regard?
Yeah, so I suppose going forward for the organisation, the findings in that respect are probably actually more concerning and more more threatening to the organisation. Dr. Geoffrey Shannon, he also reviewed the organisation's files and examined a number of contemporary child protection and alleged abuse cases, and his findings there were very concerning. He raised a lot of issues around shortcomings in the organisation's policy. He said there were instances where its Garda vetting system had failed and unvetted individuals had gained access to the organisation. He said effectively that the current culture and resistance to change within St. John Ambulance pose an ongoing threat to the implementation of proper child safeguarding protection measures and systems. So effectively, he was saying that the in respect of the historical abuse, there was a failure to act. But even to the present day, there was ongoing shortcomings and failings in the organisation.
Yeah, that doesn't chime with a letter sent from the then CEO of TUSLA back in 2019 to government officials, including the then Minister for Children, which said that current child safeguarding procedures at St John Ambulance, that they were sufficient.
Yeah, so that letter arose after now Minister for State, Anne Rabbitt, who met some of the survivors, I think, in 2019. She wrote to Minister for Children, Catherine Zappone, around the spring of 2019, and she got a response from Bernard Gloucester, the then chief executive of TUSLA. And that letter effectively said that while they were aware of the initial three complaints from the initial three survivors, they had conducted a review of their files and they had no further referrals were found. And so Bernard Gloucester stated that TUSLA were effectively confident that there was no systemic or organisational abuse within St John Ambulance in the past, and that's something that Dr Shannon's findings really really contrast with. And I suppose more concerningly, TUSLA said they had no concerns about current practices and policies in St John Ambulance. And furthermore, even more recently, after the Irish Times published an article, our first article in August of 2020, officials from TUSLA met with St John Ambulance the following month in September. And after that meeting, TUSLA sent a further letter to the organisation, saying they were satisfied with how they'd handled historical abuse allegations and they had no concerns about current practices or policies. So those assurances and, I suppose, kind of findings from TUSLA are really, you know, effectively entirely contradicted by Dr Shannon's forensic examination over the next year and a half. And it really raises wider questions in terms of the state's child protection system. In terms of how TUSLA effectively, you know, kind of audits or seeks assurances from organisations that they are a safe place for children.
Because Dr Shannon is very clear. He says today that St John Ambulance still does not have sufficient safeguarding systems in place today. Is that right, Jack?
Yes, that's absolutely what he says. And he's at pains as well to go through, you know, really kind of concerning practices where information about several different child protection cases and complaints were kind of stored together on the same files, and, you know, kind of a really kind of chaotic picture of its child protection system that as Dr Shannon lays out, you know, is not fit for purpose in the current day and needs significant reforms.
Now, the men who first came forward with their stories, you spoke to, I think, nine of them in total, and you've been speaking to a number of them this morning. What's their initial response to the report?
Yeah, I suppose there was a lot of kind of trepidation and anxiety over the lengthy delays that it's taken to get to this point. There was fear that the organisation wouldn't publish the report. So after they had a chance to read it today, I suppose, you know, speaking to them afterwards, you know, some of the men and the survivors were quite emotional. But I think the overwhelming sense was that they've been vindicated, that what they said when they came forward initially was that St John Ambulance knew about this and they'd failed to act. And Dr Shannon's report really, as I say, vindicates that position and vindicates their suggestions that enough wasn't done at the time. And I think there's also, you know, a sense of anger in terms of you know, kind of accountability and particularly the findings that the current child protection systems are not up to standards. That so many years on, you know, decades. I was speaking to one man who said, you know, the apology was welcome and it was heartfelt, but for him, who allegedly been abused in the 1970s, the apology was 50 years too late. So that was kind of a lot of the sense of the response, that I suppose they're happy that this report has really shone a light and conclusively shone a light into the past failings of the organisation. And questions now will likely turn to accountability, and the organisation itself has said that it wants to unreservedly apologise to those that failed in the past. It said that it will implement all of Dr Shannon's recommendations for change, and that it, it's attempting to be, you know, kind of a safe organisation today for children.
Okay. I see the statement in from St John Ambulance this morning. Now, they've sent us a really detailed response to the findings, and just want to bring you 2 points from that statement. They're committed to offering a comprehensive apology, as you say, Jack, to all victims, survivors, and fully accept that the organisation's structures facilitated grooming and predatory behaviour in the past. They also acknowledge and deeply regret that victim survivors continue to suffer ongoing and persistent trauma because of the abuse they described experiencing. They were committed here this morning to recruiting a professionally qualified person to the role of National Safeguarding Lead to augment the dedicated volunteer safeguarding team. So that speaks to one of the recommendations from Dr. Shannon in this report. Just in regards to what might happen on from here, we know that the DPP had previously decided not to pursue a prosecution in cases brought before it in relation to all of this, Jack. Is there any indication now that that might change, or are there any ongoing Garda investigations currently?
Yeah, so four of the survivors had previously gone to the Garda, and in each of those instances, the Director of Public Prosecutions opted not to take a prosecution. You know, I'm aware there's at least two current criminal complaints, similarly of alleged historical child sex abuse against the man, that are being investigated by Gardaí at the moment. So you'll imagine that, you know, with a Garda investigation ongoing, that if files in relation to those cases are sent to the DPP, it will again, you'll have an opportunity to decide whether or not to direct a prosecution against this man, who, you know, at the moment is, you know, still alive. He's aged in his late 80s now. But I think I think you know, there might be kind of further questions in relation to a potential review of those previous decisions by the DPP and the Gardaí.
All right, Jack, thank you very much. Jack Power there from the Irish Times on that St John Ambulance report out this morning. Now, if anything in what Jack was telling us about there has affected you, you can find details on support services and helplines at rte.ie/helplines. Tusla has also established a dedicated reporting helpline, and that number is 045 839 375. I'll give you that again. It's 045 839 375, and you can call that number. It's there to support any individual who has a current or historical child protection concern in relation to the St John Ambulance service. Tusla has also told us that they are going to send us a statement at some point in the next little while. So once we get that, we will bring that to you.